That's a chipper passage. A couple of things to mention today. The Feast of Ezekiel, according to Wikipedia, is celebrated on July 21st for Lutherans, and on July 23rd, that's today, for Orthodox and Roman Catholics. So, cheers to Ezekiel. I did not know this when I planned this and having this day, so that was a cool surprise. So, there you go. As we come to this last message in the series, who among you are wondering why Ezekiel? I know you're raising your hands in your mind because I've heard it. Why spend time in a book where God seems so strange and so other? I admit I did get some yucks out of those faithful leaders doing the time for children each week, because a few of them, I'm not going to name any names, asked me in advance, what am I supposed to do with this, Laura? I think they all did a fantastic job. Well, 3 weeks isn't nearly enough time to soak up all this book has to offer, but I think we've done a pretty good job of picking out key themes and a few messages that God might have for each of us. Ezekiel was called to be a prophet in the midst of being in exile with a crazy vision of a giant fidget spinner and animal human faces roaming around. He was called to perform strange actions, all in the hopes of communicating to the exiles, to God's people, that they could turn back, they could repent, and worship the true God. And just like the exiles, we get distracted in our faith and turn away from God as well. Maybe it doesn't feel like we're actually turning away from God, but when we turn towards something else, something that we think will fill the holes in our life, whether it's money, pleasure, or possessions, if you're not running towards God, then you're following your own path. It's as simple and as difficult as that. In Ezekiel 11, we read that they will return to it and remove all its vile and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. They will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. This is God's desire for the exiles and for us as well, that we would remove all the things in our life that are blocking us from truly following God. And then we'll receive a heart of flesh, a moving, beating, warm, life-giving heart, and a heart of stone that's unmoldable, harsh, and distracted will be removed. I love this phrase, undivided heart. That's the name of a song that I used to listen to a lot, and the lyrics go, give me an undivided heart, help me to love you with every part. Give me an undivided soul. I want to be yours alone. We're nearing the time, the end time of our sabbatical. Our pastor Jared took a sabbatical this summer, but so did we in a number of ways. Now, this may feel like a little detour from Ezekiel, but hang with me. Let's take a mental inventory right now, and you can feel free to jot down some notes and reflect on them later. What have we done with this time of sabbatical? How have we expanded our idea of mission? How have we connected with one another? What are we going to leave behind? And what are we going to take with us as we enter the fall? A new school year, a new time for growing and forming our faith. We still have two more weeks. Next week, we get to listen to stories from the mission field, and then the week after, we get to serve our neighbors again. So let's take advantage of these opportunities. And as we will discover here at the end of Ezekiel, God has made us for worship. We are to worship our God with everything we have and everything we are. So what does it look like to worship God? Some people choose a church based on what kind of worship they have. And when they say it like that, they usually mean what kind of music. People think of worship and they go straight to music. Lots of churches face the worship wars in the 90s and 2000s and created new services, new spaces that reflected their particular style of worship. I went to a church in Southern California, I won't mention the name, but it literally had different tents set up in the parking lot each week to welcome a very different styles of music for their worship, including a tent for R&B music, a tent for country music. It was like country hoedown worship time. And this is very serious. It wasn't a joke. A Spanish service, contemporary music service. I chose the tent with the new agey music, mostly because I wanted to be a new agey. Get it? Ba-dunch. My last name's AG, if you don't know. Anyway, and we feel the tug here too. Sometimes we bring in local musicians. We had a celebration of music service, and we had clarinets and guitars and bells and whistles, and well, maybe not the whistles. But the first thing I heard when I started working here was, we need a band. We need more upbeat and contemporary worship songs. And it felt like those comments were directed towards me because I was a younger person, I was a new person, someone working with students. But my first thought when I heard all these things was like, whoa, I know better than to tackle that my first year here. But I think it's indicative of a larger issue. How do we really worship God? How does God call us to worship? In the Old Testament, God dwelt with the people, literally, in the Ark of the Covenant. Not an ark like Noah's Ark. It wasn't a boat, but the Ark of the Covenant was like a fancy box. And they worshiped, God dwelt in makeshift tents while wandering in the desert, and then finally in the temple. So when the exiles are exiled out of Israel, they're out of range of going to the temple to worship God. It really felt like they were exiled from the presence of God. And that's why God using Ezekiel to communicate with a people is so important. They felt abandoned by God, yet God is constantly trying to get their attention and say, the story isn't over. God foreshadows a time that is coming when worship isn't contained in or confined to the temple. In fact, the temple was destroyed while Ezekiel is prophesying to the exiles. And when they find that out, it's like all hope of returning is lost. But that's not the end of the story. And in our passage for today, we hear a new message. There will be a new temple. And it's described in a lot of detail at the end of Ezekiel. But we have the advantage of knowing what comes next. We have a bigger picture through the life of Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." We are now the temple holding the Spirit of God. And we can worship God anywhere, at any time, in any fashion that we want. We don't have to gather at a temple or a church. Although that's helpful, gathering weekly together to be an encouragement to one another and to be encouraged to grow in our faith. It doesn't matter what music is played because, frankly, it's not about us. We aren't worshiping ourselves. We're worshiping God. So it doesn't matter if the sermon leaves you feeling good inside or if the words came out at just the right speed and intonation or if we sang your favorite song. And this might feel a little harsh, but God demands and deserves our worship. It's not our comfort that's the priority. The prophet's job, Ezekiel's job, was to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. And we so often try to comfort the comforted and end up afflicting the afflicted. I think what that means for us is that we are to bring our whole, undivided, authentic selves here each week. That's what the world is longing for, real people acknowledging who they are and their real need for a savior. That's true worship. God promises the exiles at the end of our passage today, put away from me all your idolatry, all your idols, and I will dwell in your midst forever. So let us ask God for an undivided heart, a heart made of flesh and not stone, a heart open to worship God with everything we have and with everything we are. Amen.